Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. There's a verse that you will all know very well. A verse that's often used, but not more abused than used, really. The very last verse, 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is not intended to be said at the end of services so that everybody can then go home, as happens in many churches. It's more than just a greeting. It's a wonderful prayer. And all three statements are, of course, of great significance. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to focus this morning on the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. On Sunday, we were talking about how to depend upon the anointing. And this morning, we develop that, really, by talking about our fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because the degree of your fellowship with the Holy Spirit will have a direct effect upon how far you depend upon the Holy Spirit, how far you depend upon the anointing. Now, of course, these are the three persons of the Holy Spirit. And one of the more difficult things for Christians to get hold of is that the Holy Spirit is just as personal as Jesus. Yes. Just as personal as the Father. He's no less personal. He is the third person of the Trinity. And the Trinity is not a doctrine. The Trinity simply describes who God is. People talk about the doctrine of the Trinity, but we should think of the person of God, the three in one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, Paul says earlier in this same epistle, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. Rich. Chapter 8, verse 9. So that's the grace that we've got to have in mind. God's purpose through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is to make us rich. Not rich financially, although you can include that if you have the faith for it, but rich in every way, rich with the riches of Christ. This is his purpose. This is why you were saved by grace. But just as you were saved by grace, so you have to live by grace. And you were saved by grace when you put your faith in him. So you live by grace as you put your faith in him. The same principle operates throughout your Christian life. Now, God has been talking to us in these last few weeks about what it really is to abide in Jesus, and therefore for him to abide in us. If you abide in Jesus, you abide in his grace. You abide in his riches. You continually live in those riches. And if he lives in you, he continually lives in you with all those riches. Now, the very first thing that Jesus makes clear when he's talking about being the true vine and the disciples, the branches, right at the beginning, he says, the Father is the gardener. The Father is the vine dresser. Now, that means this is the Father's vine. And a person can only belong to that vine, or be, if you like, grafted into that vine by the will of the Father. So it has been the Father's will through his love, because everything he does in love, because he is love. So it's by the love of God that you have been grafted into Jesus, that you live in Jesus, therefore you live in his grace, therefore you live in his riches every day. Now, the Father, because he is the gardener, is responsible for the vine. He is the one who tends the vine. He cuts out the fruitless branches. He prunes the fruitful branches. So either way, there's going to be a cutting taking place in our lives, cutting out the unnecessary, the unfruitful, in order that we might be more fruitful still. So that is the Father's job, if you like. That's his work. So from that we understand that the Father's heart is for the welfare of the vine, and therefore for the welfare of every branch in the vine. It isn't by your choice that you are in the vine, it's by his choice. Yes. Which is why Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." God took the initiative of actually calling, choosing you, putting you into the vine of Jesus. Now he tends and cares for the whole vine, and therefore for every branch. Now, the important thing for us to realize, therefore, is that God the Father, in his love, is overseeing your life in a very personal way. It isn't that the Holy Spirit is close and Jesus is close and the Father is somehow remote. No, the Father is just as close as the Son and the Holy Spirit. Remember that Jesus said that those who believe in him and obey his commands, the Father and the Son come to make their home with him. So that's how close the Father wants to be. So that's how close, or how closely, he wants you to know his Father love for you. And he wants you to know that he doesn't simply take a fatherly interest in you, but he is overseeing every aspect of your life as a branch of the vine. He knows when to prune you, how to prune you, what needs to be pruned out of you. He knows how his Spirit is to be released in your life so that you bear the fruit that he wants you to produce for his glory. Yes. So the Father, in his love, is overseeing all that. It's all, of course, the work of his grace, so that through the poverty of Jesus, through the way in which he shared our humanity, we are able to live in his riches. You're getting too excited. Now, along with this overseeing in love and living daily in the grace, in the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, John, in his first letter, says our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. So we have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. But actually, our ability to enjoy fellowship with the Father and Son depends upon our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So, as you develop your fellowship with the Holy Spirit, so you will develop also your fellowship with the Father and the Son. Hello? Yeah. Because the Trinity of God works together in unity, what affects one affects all. So the closer your fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the more you will develop your fellowship with the Father and the Son. You can't actually develop fellowship with the Father and the Son without developing fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So this raises the question, well, what does it mean for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with us? What does it mean to live in that fellowship? Now, the word fellowship means the sharing of life. So if our fellowship is with the Father, it's because he has chosen to share his life with us. If our fellowship is with the Son, it's because he has chosen to share his life with us. And if our fellowship is with the Holy Spirit, then it's because he has chosen to share his life with us. If he had not taken that initiative, it would be impossible for us to have fellowship with either the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. But of course, we are only able to benefit from the way in which he is ready to share his life with us, in as much as we share our life with him. Yes. Fellowship has to be mutual. So you see, Jesus says that the measure you give is the measure you receive. The real issue, therefore, is how far you give yourself to the Holy Spirit to have fellowship with him, because that will have a direct influence on how much of his life he is able to share with you. Hello? Yes. One of the reasons why you see different, or what appears to be a different degree of anointing on some people than others, is not just because of the different nature of their call. We saw how on Sunday, how personal the anointing of the Holy Spirit is for each one, that God actually has tailor-made the anointing on your life just for you. Nobody else can have the anointing that you have. It's so absolutely personal. It's tailor-made for you. And not just for what is going on in your life now, but for whatever God is going to cause to develop out of what he's doing in your life now, the way that your ministry in the future is going to develop. So the seeds, even of what you need in the future, are already within you by the anointing. But what releases that anointing is the way in which you give yourself to the anointing or to the Holy Spirit. So what you see in some people is a greater anointing, as it appears, because there's a greater yieldedness to the Holy Spirit in their lives than there is to others. In other words, I'm not talking about the difference of ministries now. I'm talking about the anointing on a person regardless of what their particular ministry is. The more yielded or given over to the Holy Spirit a person is, the more of the Spirit, the more of the anointing is evidenced in their lives. So, for example, you could have two people who are real servants. This is their ministry. It's one of the ministry gifts to the body of Christ. Those who serve, I know we're all called to serve, ministry is service, but there are particular people that have a particular ministry of serving others. Now, God has anointed them to do that, but it may appear that one is more anointed than another, simply because he has given himself over more fully to the anointing. He has yielded himself more fully to the Spirit, so the Spirit is able to serve or express that service through him in a greater way than the other. It isn't that God prefers the one to the other. It's just that there's a different response in the one to the other. Are you there? So we see there's the Godward side and the manward side of fellowship. Because fellowship is the sharing of God life and man life together. So what God does is important from his angle. What man does, or what the person does, is also significant from his perspective. Because the fellowship is the blending of the two. It's the sharing of the two. It's the uniting of the two. Now, God does not withhold himself at all. Are we there?
Yes.
You see, his purpose is to love, is to make us rich with the grace that has been revealed through Jesus. As we saw on Sunday, for his power to be so at work in us that we understand the greatness of his love, so that we're filled with all the fullness of God, the full measure of God. Now, that power, you see, is the power of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That's what Paul is praying in that prayer for the Ephesians. The power to believe, the power to love, so that we know the fullness of God. So, in your anointing, there is that fullness. Potentially, there is the fullness of everything you could ever need from God for the rest of your life. Now, there will be times when it seems that a fresh anointing comes upon you. But you will find that every time that's happened, it's because there's been a fresh yielding of yourself to him. So what actually happens is there's a fresh release of the Holy Spirit in your life. Whether that's a release from within or whether it appears that something fresh comes upon you, as happened to the first believers in Acts 4, doesn't matter. What matters is the result. Are we there?
Yes.
Now, we know the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth who guides us into all the truth, but he is also the Spirit of life. We have now been set free from the law of sin and death, and the law that operates in our lives now is the law of the Spirit of life. Are we there? Now, you can know the truth and not have the life in experience, in what is happening in your life. Hello? You see, what we need on our lives, all of us, is not simply an anointing to communicate the truth, but an anointing to communicate the life.
Amen.
Of which the truth speaks. So you can have somebody who teaches the word, communicates the truth, but doesn't necessarily communicate the life. Hello?
Yes.
But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He links the truth and the life together. So it's important for us to know the truth, to study the truth. But studying the truth without the life doesn't produce the fruit.
Yes.
It's the life that produces the fruit, not the knowledge of the truth. Now, the importance of the knowledge of the truth is that it shows us what life is available.
Yes.
What life God wants to release into the circumstances of our lives, day by day. But what matters is not simply that we have a deposit of truth within us, but we see the flow of the life. So Jesus talks about the rivers of living water. Now, what is the living water? It's the life of the Spirit. It's the life that flows from the throne of God, ultimately. So what he wants to flow out of us is not just a revelation of truth, but the life. Now, I get into all kinds of situations as I travel around. Sometimes I see people so concerned about the life that they are not necessarily walking in the truth. So you get lots of experience, but much of it is soulish experience. It's not experience of the Spirit. It's a mixture. But on the other hand, you can be in a situation where people are so concerned about the truth that there's not the evidence of the life. Now, what we need is the two together, right? That we have the revelation of truth, but we see the life of which that truth speaks. So if we are sharing in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we're not just sharing in revelation of the truth, we're sharing in the life of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fellowship is the sharing of life, not just the sharing of truth about that life. So we're sharing in the life of the Holy Spirit every day. Now, the more you depend upon the anointing, as we were seeing on Sunday, the more that life gets released into the circumstances of your life. Are you there?
Yes.
Now, that dependence is twofold. The dependence comes from faith, trusting in the anointing, not trusting in yourself. So you build fellowship with the Holy Spirit by trusting Him, by trusting in the anointing. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 50 years ago this month. So I've had 50 years experience of learning to trust the Holy Spirit. And one of the first things you see that God taught me in that is that I can't preach, but the Holy Spirit can. So it is still true to say I cannot preach, but the Holy Spirit can if I trust the anointing. So I wouldn't dare to speak, whether it's to one or whether it's to 1,000 or 10,000 people, without trusting in the anointing, without trusting in the Holy Spirit, without affirming before I speak, Lord, be absolutely hopeless without you. But I trust in the anointing. I trust in the fellowship. So trusting, believing, exercising faith in the anointing develops your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Are you there? Now, we talked about honoring the Holy Spirit last week and how we don't want anything in our lives that's going to grieve the Holy Spirit if we're going to honor the anointing of the Spirit in our lives and in one another's lives. But you see, by the same token, we have to understand, right, if I'm going to develop my fellowship with the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to have to trust in the Holy Spirit. Every time I trust in myself, I actually hinder my fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So it's not just a question of trusting Him when I've got to do something that I know I cannot do in the natural, but learning to walk with Him through every day so that my trust is in Him every day. So, for example, when temptation arises, are you fighting the temptation or are you trusting in the anointing to overcome?
Yes.
You see, when you trust in the anointing, you have the victory.
Yes.
Can you see that? So what you're doing is applying the victory. You're not fighting in your own strength against something. So it affects all kinds of different areas of our lives. Trusting, believing in the anointing, in the presence, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So on the one hand, you develop your fellowship with Him through faith, through trusting Him. But you also develop your fellowship with Him through love, because He is the Spirit of love. And as Jesus makes clear, you abide in Him, you abide in Jesus, you continue to live in Him, you continue to live in His love by obeying him. So, love for the Holy Spirit enables you to obey. You see, the Holy Spirit, everything about the Holy Spirit within you is willing you to obey, is willing you to do the will of God. He never wants anything other for you than complete and perfect and full obedience to the will of God. But he's not legalistic. He is life. He is love. Love is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. So what you see is, if you are going to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit, if you're going to follow the Spirit as a son of God, those the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, then that is going to come out not only of your trust in the Holy Spirit, but your love for the Holy Spirit. You actually have to love the anointing. Now, you don't worship the anointing. You worship the Spirit, but you don't worship the anointing, but you love the anointing. Because you are so dependent upon the anointing to enable you to love God, to obey his commands, to do what pleases him. Are we getting this? Now, you see, the anointing really is the person of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? This is God. It's not just God has given you a portion of power to enable you. No, it's the person of God with whom you share your life, because he is willing every day to share his life with you. He is more ready to share his life with you than you are to share your life with him. He has already given himself to you. Now, the measure you give yourself to him is the measure that his life and activity is released in you. Have you ever wished that you had more patience? Now, you see, a lack of patience is not your problem, but a lack of fellowship with the Holy Spirit is your problem. Hello? Why? Because patience is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, we joke about, Lord, give me patience, but hurry. So often we see a particular need, but you see, all the fruit of the Spirit come out of our relationship with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what the branch produces by abiding in the vine. Are you there? So you get all nine flavors. There is a fruit, actually, that exists in Asia somewhere that has nine different flavors, same fruit, nine flavors. God would have to do that, wouldn't he? Can't remember what it's called now, but I have actually eaten some of it. The love, joy, peace, the patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control will all be there in the measure in which you are enjoying fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So the closer you are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the more love, the more joy, the more peace, the more patience, the more kindness, the more goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. So if you see a lack in any one of those things, the lack is not in that just that area of your life. The lack is in your fellowship. Because where that fellowship exists, all nine flavors exist. Are we getting that? Praise God. You might be aware of your deficiency in one area, but God is probably aware of deficiency in the other eight as well. But it's just you're in a situation where you lose your temper or something like that, and you say, oh, I need more patience, because you need more of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in your life. Mm-hmm. So therefore, there needs to be a greater faith or dependence upon the Holy Spirit, and a greater love for the Holy Spirit, a greater love for the anointing. Now, you develop the anointing in prayer. Even those times when you think nothing is happening, those frustrating times of prayer when you feel you're getting nowhere, and you may as well get up and do something else. You see, as we saw on Sunday, the anointing is not a feeling. So our effectiveness in prayer has got nothing to do with what we feel when we pray. In fact, sometimes, you know, people feel they've got the victory and actually they haven't. They're just depending upon their feelings. It's all a matter of faith. We pray by faith. We believe that we have what we pray for. Yes. It's got nothing to do with feelings. Hello? Yes. It's got nothing to do either with feeling the presence of the Lord. It's wonderful to feel the presence of the Lord, isn't it? Yes. But our effectiveness in prayer does not depend upon feeling the presence of the Lord. You can feel the presence of the Lord and still not pray with faith. Are we there?
Yeah.
You see, Jesus says, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer if you believe, not if you feel. If you believe. You know the danger, because we warn you of the danger of worshipping the presence of the Lord rather than worshipping the Lord. We're not here to worship the presence. We're here to worship the Lord. If we get the revelation of his presence, that's great. But that's not what we're here to do, you know, because that's what so many do. They just love the presence of, oh, I love the presence of the Lord. Well, so what? Because what matters is fruitfulness, not just loving the sense of his presence. That presence has got to be turned into fruitfulness. So why does the Lord reveal his presence? Not just so that we can have a revelation of his presence, but so that he can work in us, he can encounter us, and we can encounter him. We can have fellowship with him. Something is supposed to happen in the presence of the Lord. It's not just a feeling, it's not just an experience, it's not just an emotion. Are we there? The end, the aim of worship is not to experience the presence of the Lord, right? The aim of worship is for God to do in us what will glorify him. And you see, worship is giving to him what he is worth so that he can expedite his will and his purpose in our lives. So it's not just a question of enjoying his presence, but we should come out of times of worship closer to him than we were before. Yes. I don't mean in feeling and emotion, but a closer walk will result. Hello? It's very, very important. See, this is why Paul says that, you know, our real spiritual worship is the offering of our bodies. It's not what happens in the prayer time, in the worship time. It's the yielding, it's the sacrifice, it's the giving over of ourselves to him. So we encounter him, we meet with him, in order that he may take greater possession of us. Now, this is, you see, this is what the fellowship is all about. Because fellowship is the sharing of the life, the more the Holy Spirit possesses you, the more you are able to possess of the Spirit. By possess, I mean actually manifest the life and the power of the anointing in your life. Look, you know there's the outer court, the middle court, and the Holy of Holies, the holy place and the Holy of Holies. In the holy place, you know the presence of God, but you're still not in the Holy of Holies. See, the real business happens in the Holy of Holies. And where the Holy Spirit wants to lead us is right into the Holy of Holies, so we have encounter with God. You can't have an encounter with the Holy One without being changed. Something happens to you. You can't go into the Holy of Holies without something happening. And actually, you see, God's purpose is not for us to enter into the Holy of Holies in worship. What he is aiming at is us living in the Holy of Holies. Yeah. Yeah. And not actually ever leaving it. Yeah. It's not just to be a place that's opened up in worship. It's the place that he has opened up for us to live. Because he is the Holy One and we live in him. So if we live in Christ, we live in the Holy One. We live in the Holy of Holies. Can you understand me? If we are living in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is living in us, potentially we live in the Holy of Holies. We don't have to just live in the holy place where we can be conscious of his presence, or in the outer court where we can simply rejoice in him. Are you understanding? That when Jesus opened up the way, he opened up the way for where we are to live, not just where we are to experience. So you live in him. You don't just experience him. You live in him, and he lives in you. But you are dependent upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit for that to be a reality in your life. Now, the importance of worship is that takes us experientially, or can take us experientially, into that place. But it's not the only way. Prayer, submission, yielding to him also takes you into that place and keeps you in that place. You see, this is the point. The reason why God wants us to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit is not just to have the odd encounter with him, but to keep us living in him. So, we can only abide or continue to live in Jesus because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it would be impossible. So the more I depend upon the Spirit, the more that faith and love for the Holy Spirit is operating in my life, the more I will be able, or the closer, if you like, I will be able to live in Christ, united in him, with him. Sharing fellowship with the Father and the Son because I'm enjoying fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Okay, now are you ready? Ultimately, the question is this: how exclusive is that fellowship with the Holy Spirit? There are many paradoxes in the Christian life. This is one of them. That only being exclusive can you become inclusive. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, but you can have fellowship with all kinds of other things going on in your life at the same time. Now, if that is the case, of course, you are only giving yourself over partially to fellowship with the Holy Spirit because you're giving yourself over to have fellowship with this, that, and the other. Are you hearing? So the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be just one of a series of things with which we share our life. Now, you're probably thinking, well, wait a minute, aren't we supposed to love one another? Aren't we supposed to have fellowship with one another? Precisely. But your ability to have fellowship with others depends upon the quality of your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The more exclusive that is, the more inclusive your relationships will be with others. Strange, isn't it? But if you try to have fellowship with others without developing that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you will find that you will be ineffective. But the more you develop your fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the more you will love others. The more you devote yourself to that fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the more His love will overflow through you into the lives of other people. Why? Because He is love. He is the Spirit of love. Jesus is love. God is love. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So the more you fellowship with love, the more loving you become. So your fellowship with God is the key to your fellowship with others. You see, you can be very friendly with others without sharing your life with them. The only people that you have fellowship with are those you share your life with. Are you hearing? Fellowship isn't sharing a cup of coffee with someone at the end of a meeting. You see, that's not fellowship with God, neither is it fellowship with others. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do, but it's very superficial. If we're talking about fellowship being the sharing of life, who are you sharing your life with? Well, we have life groups for the sharing of life. But life groups can get into all kinds of activities that actually prevent people from sharing their lives. Because it's much easier to go and do something than to sit down and share your life. Have I touched on something there? And because we have a bit of camaraderie while we do whatever it is we're doing, having a cooked breakfast or something, we think we're having fellowship. But how superficial is that? Now, you see, it's not being critical, it's just saying, well, listen, if the relationships are superficial, what does that say about your relationship to the Holy Spirit? Because the one is the reflection of the other. See, having lived many years in community, I find superficial relationships very difficult. Because to me, they're meaningless, or virtually meaningless. You can be nice and polite to one another and all the rest of it. But actually, the sharing of our lives is what impacts other people with the life of God. Now, there are different ways of doing that, of course. But in personal relationship, it's the context. And there's a certain fear that has to be overcome in that, isn't there? Because that fear exists because of still our attitudes of independence. The problem is that when you share your life, you make yourself vulnerable. Some people are going to abuse that. Some people are going to misunderstand that. But you actually can't love people without making yourself vulnerable. Look how vulnerable Jesus was because He loved. Not just when He went to the cross, but long before He went to the cross. Are you there? So this is an interesting morning. You see, the point is this, that God doesn't see fellowship with Him and then fellowship with others. He sees fellowship. He knows that whatever our fellowship is with Him will immediately affect our fellowship with others. If you want to put it this way, the closer we draw to Him, the closer we will be to others. The more open we are to Him, the more open we will be to others. When people are living in revival, they are very, very open. Very, very open. And their openness enables others, even unsaved people that come in among them, to open up to God. The openness breeds openness. And this is one of the ways in which you can see where real revival is actually taking place. How open people are. How loving, yes, but they are loving because they are so open. And that's threatening. See, to most people, that's threatening. So if you were to say to a group of people, you need to be more open with one another, they're immediately threatened. Because that's not the way to go, actually. But if a group of people become more open to God, they will then be more open with one another. If they draw near to God, they will then be much nearer to one another in their relationships. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, we want to choose just one or two people that we'd like to be close to. Well, that's okay. Those are people that you can share at a fairly deep level with. But the fruit on the branch is not for the branch. The fruit is for those the Father brings to eat of that fruit. And so you might end up having to share your life deeply with people that in the natural you wouldn't even want anything to do with. And you have to open up your life to them because that is the will of God. He has chosen you, if you like, to be the instrument by which he is going to reach them. Or through whom he's going to do something deep and significant in their lives. Now, sometimes that's going to involve upset in their lives. Very often, in fact, God will use you to stir something, to cause a reaction in someone else. And if you hadn't been prepared to share your life, that would never have happened, and the person would never be faced with what God needs to do in his or her life. Anybody understand what I'm talking about this morning? See, superficial, it's no good. Superficial disciples can only make superficial disciples. But real disciples can make real disciples. Mm-hmm. And we want to be real with God. Okay, so Paul says when he's writing to Colossians, so this is my message to you, because you have already received Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to live in him. You have been rooted in him, now grow up in him. Let your trust in him continue to grow stronger as you live in the good of what you have been taught, and let your hearts overflow with thankfulness to God. God has put you into Christ. He's put his spirit within you so you can have fellowship with him and so have fellowship with Jesus and so have fellowship with the Father. He has rooted you in him. Now you've got to grow up in him. And you see, the only way you grow up in him is, well, like a child with the parents. You live together. You develop relationship together. You give of yourself to him and he gives of himself to you. You depend upon him more and more and so strengthen your bond of unity with him. You love him, you love the anointing, you love the Holy Spirit, you love the way that in his faithfulness he always comes good. When I was praying early this morning, praying about all this, God said to me, Colin, in 50 years of ministry, my Holy Spirit has never once failed you when you have depended upon him. That's the nature of the God in whom we trust. It's not just a question of having experiences. It's a question of trust. It's got nothing to do with feelings. It's all about trust. Trusting him because you love him. You know he is dependable. You know he is reliable. You know he is faithful. You know he will never fail you. You can't feel the anointing, but you can trust the anointing. Because you believe you are anointed. Believing is knowing. You know you're anointed. Now, if you know you're anointed, you know that what God wants to do is to use that anointing to release life. Yes. That what is to flow in your life every day is the life of God. What is to flow out of you every day is the life of God. The anointing is to produce life, not just knowledge of the truth, not just a sense of the presence of God, but life. Life in you, life in others. It's all about life. It's the spirit of life that is now the law that is operating in your new life in Christ. The law of sin and death is gone, but the law of the spirit of life is operating you. He is the spirit of life. Where the Holy Spirit is, there's not just a sense of his presence, there's life. So I'm not downgrading the presence. Praise God for his presence. But I'm saying God wants you to press beyond the presence to the life. To engage with the one who is life. He is life. In him is the light of life. When Jesus came, the life of God came into the world. When the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh, the life of God was released. You have his life. That's limitless. And its power, and its ability, and its love, and its joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Don't just say, oh Lord, thank you for the anointing. But pray, Lord, I want to see the life. I want to see life flowing out of me every day. I want to see life, your life, touching the lives of other people. Thank you, you filled me with life. My fellowship is with life. My dependence is upon the life. I love the life of God. If I love him. I know we've seemed to put a whole lot of things together. Has it all made sense to you this morning? So, the life becomes the evidence of the anointing. Not simply that in you people see life, but through you they receive life.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.